Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
In just a few short hours, former President Donald Trump will become the first former U.S. president to be arraigned in court on criminal charges.
And the sunshine is back out. Temperatures have begun to warm. I'll have a closer look at when temperatures climb into the upper 80s coming up.
And a former detective is free on bond after answering to criminal charges, including extortion. WRAL was inside the courtroom. We'll have a live report.
Former President Trump is expected to turn himself in at the Manhattan District Attorney's Office in just a few hours. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. During the arraignment scheduled to take place at 2:15 p.m., Trump and the country will learn the exact charges he faces. You're looking at a live picture from New York where police are preparing for possible protests.
Ken Smith is in the WRL Live Center with a brief preview of what we can expect. Ken?
Michelle and Jeff, we've been monitoring this for the last hour or so, and I want to take you to this other live picture. This is just outside Trump Towers, and eventually, you see the barricades right there. Eventually, the former president will walk through those barricades and out into the motorcade there in New York City. And I got to tell you, in terms of looking at this for the last hour or so, I did some research as well, and in front of this building, I want to pull out now and give you another live shot. At Tasmito, let's go to a live shop right now.
And supporters and opponents of former President Donald Trump have been gathering here, facing off against each other. For now, things have remained peaceful, and there is a heavy police presence just hours before we are set to see history. A criminal indictment against a former U.S. president, a current candidate to the White House. Former President Trump expected to arrive here to face a judge and a long list of criminal charges.
No broadcast cameras in the courtroom. That's according to the judge presiding over the arraignment of former President Donald Trump in Manhattan today, rejecting the request made by several media outlets to broadcast the historic proceedings. Meanwhile, New York City is preparing for a moment never before seen in the United States, as Trump becomes the first former or sitting president to be criminally charged.
Obviously, this is different. This has never happened before. I've never had Secret Service involved in an arraignment before.
Security will be tight with street closures until after the arraignment. The city says they are actively monitoring any threats of violence or mass demonstrations,
including those by a Georgia representative and Trump supporter.
And although we have no specific threats, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is known to spread misinformation and hate speech, she stated she's coming to town. While you're in town, be on your best behavior.
Trump is expected to enter a plea of not guilty to the dozens of charges he's set to face, charges his legal team is ready to challenge.
We know that this was based on Stormy Daniels. We know what's in it. It's a bunch of garbage.
Now, we are not expecting Trump to spend much time here in New York City following that arraignment. However, his lawyers telling us they do expect Trump to say a few words as he heads into that arraignment. The former president scheduled to return to Florida this evening, where he is expected to deliver a primetime speech from his home in Mar-a-Lago. Reporting in Lower Manhattan, Gloria Pasmino, back to you.
And coming up tonight on NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, the campaign of a criminally charged president. After this indictment, two impeachments, lawsuits, a series of active investigations, can Trump get the Republican Party's presidential nomination? And what the 2024 campaign season looks like now? That's tonight on NBC Nightly News.
And taking a live look right now at Lake Gaston, the sunshine is back. Temperatures are set to soar back into the 80s this afternoon. We don't have that picture. We have Clinton for you. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is tracking how long the 80s will stick around this week, Kat.
They're going to stick around for 3 days in a row. Those of you who enjoy the warm weather, you get to enjoy some 80s this week. You can take a live look right now at downtown Raleigh from the Natural Sciences Museum. A bright blue sky, It's 74 degrees. Temperatures should be warming up near 80 this afternoon. It's a gorgeous day outside. Definitely get outside, get some exercise in today. Tomorrow, it's going to be hot. High temperatures climb up to 86 in Durham and Rocky Mount, 87 in Raleigh and Clinton, and even up to 88 in Fayetteville. Not quite to records, though. As we get into April, records are closer to the 90s most days. Another day in the 80s on the way on Thursday. Highs back in the low 80s in the Triangle, 82 in Fayetteville. But Thursday's 80s could help to spark some thunderstorms. We're going to be closely monitoring our next storm system. Not looking like much just yet, but you can begin to see some showers and storms developing in Texas and some thunderstorms in Illinois. I'll have a closer look at which parts of North Carolina are under a severe weather threat from this same system coming up in just a few minutes. Michelle.
All right. Thank you, Kat. A Smithfield police officer and Johnston County school board member is free on bond this hour after a court hearing one day after a grand jury indictment. WRL's Chelsea Donovan was inside the courtroom and shares what was revealed this morning. Chelsea.
Yeah, we understand that Ronald Johnson actually turned himself into a magistrate this morning on those five counts that he's indicted with. He was fingerprinted and automatically given a $50,000 unsecured bond before he made his way into a courtroom. Shackles on his feet. We should mention that Ronald Johnson is a former longtime police detective with the Smithfield Police Department, and he's actually a current Johnston County School Board member. Now, Johnson was indicted yesterday on five counts of felony extortion, felony obstruction of justice, and three counts of willfully failing to discharge duties. The state says a month before the primary election, Ronald Johnson attempted to extort a congressional candidate, Devan Barber, by threatening to release a defamatory recording targeting him weeks before that election. Johnson threatened to release that recording if Barber didn't pressure a woman to take back her statement that she had an affair with Johnson. We should mention those recordings were never released.
It felt to that candidate like it was blackmail, like it was an extortion, and the conversation got somewhat heated. And this was in the days leading up to this primary election.
She was fully aware.
Johnson is also accused of violating his duties as a school board member, allegedly recording a closed school board meeting in May of last year and attempting to have two Clayton High School students with special needs transferred to another school as an act of personal retaliation. Now, we should mention Johnson bonded out this morning just minutes after that court appearance. He's due back in court the week of June the 5th. Michelle.
Chelsea Donovan live in Johnston County. Thanks, Chelsea.
Several state and federal agencies are investigating after a Greensboro man was arrested with several weapons on the campus of North Carolina A&T. WRL's Brian Schrader is following this story and has new information we've uncovered. Brian.
Jeff, we're getting new details just in the past 15 minutes about what police say happened on March 26th. Court documents say that 27-year-old Brandon Bentley swerved in a vehicle on the North Carolina A&T campus and ran to officers asking for help. He told officers that he was scared of being kidnapped by a religious cult. Court documents say that police confiscated five guns and several hundred rounds of ammunition from his vehicle, as well as knives, hatchets, a blow dart gun, and even fireworks. Bentley faces several weapons charges. He posted bond and has been banned from campus. And now there are students at North Carolina A&T who are complaining that a campus alert was never issued about the situation, and students are calling for more transparency. But university officials say that this arrest happened so quickly that Bentley no longer was considered a threat to campus safety. Jeff.
And some eye-opening details. Brian Schrader live in studio for us. Thank you.
And taking a look at Wall Street now, this is a live look at stocks. The New York Stock Exchange, the Dow Jones this afternoon down 278 points, NASDAQ down 72 points, and the S&P 500 down 30. This is the first time in 5 days that the S&P 500 has been down. This on news that the economy may be slowing. Well, you may think you're getting the best deal at a discount store like Dollar General, but new data shows their grocery prices are rising faster than competitors. Five on Your Side did a price comparison back in September and found Dollar General had the highest prices of five stores we visited. And now research from Bank of America also shows Dollar General prices are up 36% since 2020. That's significantly higher than the average increase of 22% across all food retailers and a bigger increase than Walmart, Kroger, Target, and Aldi.
Today, we'll get a better idea of the possible changes coming to RDU International Airport. The Airport Authority Board is holding a special meeting at 5 o'clock to talk about getting some new technology. The board will consider installing credit card machines for parking lots on the property. And a plan to build towers as tall as 20 stories on campus of Shaw University is getting some pushback. Data obtained by WREL shows more than 100 people want to speak against it at a Raleigh City Council hearing tonight. WREL's Laura Levine is at Shaw University with why months-long debate is getting heated now.
Standing here on Shaw University's campus, it's pretty hard to miss the signs of all the history. But along with that history is a new look at the possibilities of the future. Take a look here. We're talking about the Shaw U District. That is what the new redevelopment plan is being called. Now, some believe rezoning the campus will erase its history. Others argue that it could be a great opportunity to update campus amenities. About 7 people have signed up to speak in favor of the rezoning tonight, but 141 people have signed up in opposition. The university did make some adjustments to its rezoning request, including lowering the maximum building heights to 30 stories and 20 stories on various parcels and stepping down the building heights closest to the residential neighborhood on the south side of MLK Jr. Boulevard. The vice president of real estate tells us rezoning approval is vital to update aging infrastructure and to build more student housing. In an interview last month, Shaw's president shared the same sentiments.
Shaw has to do these kind of things in order to be able to attract the best and the brightest to our campus. Shaw University wants to have the ability to utilize its knowledge, expertise, and partnerships to do the best for the university.
So after the vote, if approved, university leaders will spend nearly a year working on a master plan again. That meeting begins at 7 o'clock tonight. Laura Levine, WREL News in Raleigh.
Today, a push to end yearly emissions inspections and to scale back safety inspections for your car will get its first big test. A North Carolina Senate committee will hold a hearing, a new bill to address both issues. In addition to ending emissions inspections, the bill would only require you to get a safety inspection for your car once every other year instead of yearly. And an effort to make the use of psychedelic drugs legal for therapy is building support here in North Carolina. 3 state lawmakers will join advocates at the state legislative building today to call for a new bill. They want to allow for research on psychedelic drugs to see how useful they are in treating PTSD. The FDA has already designated those drugs as breakthrough therapies and encouraged more research of them.
Some tense moments in Raleigh caught on camera. You see it here. Chick-fil-A workers and a customer got together and tackled and restrained a man who tried to rob a drive-thru worker. This happened at the Chick-fil-A on Capitol Boulevard during lunch rush on Friday. A customer who recorded the takedown on his phone says he wanted to get it on video to ensure everyone's safety, including the suspects, when police arrived.
Whatever was going to take place with this guy, it would be done in a... for lack of better terms, as fair as possible.
No word on the charges that person faces. Chick-fil-A gave us a statement saying the safety of its customers and employees is its top priority. Next at noon, it's a trip around the moon for NC State grad Christina Cook. The NASA astronaut talks to WREL about traveling 250,000 miles from Earth.
Also, Tesla is ordered to pay a former worker who says he endured racial slurs while on the job. How much the company has to pay up.
Plus, a 4-day school week at 12:30. Is it for the students or teachers?
Download the new WREL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Raleigh police say they'll ask a judge to release body camera video of a man firing at vehicles and officers near Ligon Middle School as parents dropped off their children. On Monday, police identified the gunman as Jorge Vega Lasama. The first 911 call came from a teacher inside the school just before 7 a.m. a week ago. Another caller said the suspect tried to open a car door at a stoplight. The 5-day report says Vega Lasama fired at 3 responding officers. They returned fire, killing him. And an argument between coworkers turns deadly in Durham. We first reported the story as breaking news yesterday during our new newscast. Police say Saquon Evans shot and killed Byron Gainey at the Dollar Tree on Glen School Road around 9 o'clock Monday morning. Investigators say the two employees were arguing. Evans is charged with murder.
We're more than a year and a half away from NASA's Artemis II mission around the moon, but we know that aboard that spacecraft headed there is an NC State grad. WRO's Chris Lovingood had a chance to sit down with astronaut Christina Cook. Chris, she is such a treasure for us right here, and she knows all about being in space for long periods of time.
She does. And you know what? She's so very humble when I spoke to her, too. And she's held the longest space flight by a woman at 328 days. So the 10-day Artemis II mission isn't as long. But the mission is unlike others. And Cook says that she is ready for this challenge.
The main thought, the main feeling that comes to mind is an absolute sense of honor and privilege to be a part of this.
Among the stars in our universe, an ever-bright glow of our sun, is NASA astronaut and NC State grad, Christina Cook. She, along with three others, will board NASA's most powerful space launch system rocket next November.
To contribute to humans' return to the moon in a new way, in a sustainable and responsible way, and then applying those lessons to go to Mars is an awesome place to be.
Cook earned bachelor's of science in electrical engineering and physics and a master's in electrical engineering in the early 2000s. During her Wolfpack days, she says she got involved beyond just her studies. Rock climbing, backpacking club, sailing club, even human rights community service.
I was just inherently interested in everything and I wanted to do it all. And NC State offered that.
Her former advisor continues to be amazed at her stellar performance.
It is just one thrill after another, I have to admit. I mean, when I knew her as an undergraduate, she was clearly headed for great things.
Reed Weissman, Victor Glover, Jeremy Hansen, Christina Cook. All four will head to orbit the moon to test important equipment and set the stage for the Artemis III mission, mankind's first lunar landing since the 70s.
I had no idea when I joined the astronaut corps that this was going to be my space destiny, and I couldn't be more excited to contribute.
And the announcement of Cook joining the Artemis II mission happened just months away from the 10-year mark of the announcement that she would join NASA's 21st astronaut class. And later on WREL, hear more on what the astronauts will be doing before launch next year and Cook's personal tie to this mission, Jeff.
Oh, we are certainly lucky to have her, no doubt about that, Chris. Thanks for that. And she also had great seats being in Houston, where NASA is for the national championship game last night.
Yes, she did. That's amazing. All right, turning to weather now, meteorologist Kat Campbell here. Tracking the next system. It's nice today, but of course it's North Carolina and we know it's a roller coaster, so not going to stay that way.
We've got a little bit of everything on the forecast. You've heard me say that before, but we've got upper 80s for highs, we've got 50s for highs, 40s for lows. Be prepared for some big changes this week. And it's all thanks to this front that's still well to our west, but we're really going to start to see the line of storms come together today. You can start to see a hint of it in East Texas and up into Illinois. And unfortunately, these areas could see some severe storms from this system later on this afternoon. It's the same areas that saw the severe weather at the end of last week. Arkansas up into Iowa, Illinois. Over 64 million people under a threat for tornadoes, hail, as well as damaging winds today. Today's threat, a level 4 out of 5, a significant threat. Tomorrow, it's a level 3 out of 5 for many areas from Tennessee up into Michigan. But when you look at the big picture, the level 1 threat extends all the way from Texas up to upstate New York. So this is a large system, and it is going to bring a pretty vast threat for severe weather to much of the country over the next few days. As it nears us in North Carolina, there is a level 1 threat for severe weather on Thursday, but notice it weakens as it gets closer to us. We're going to be watching for some heavy rain, perhaps some small hail and strong winds, but the greater concern, the way it looks right now, is in the western part of our viewing area, just clipping Person County and Mecklenburg County. One thing to watch here: if this system were to speed up at all, we could see the severe weather threat shift more into our viewing area. So that's something we'll be monitoring in the coming days. Model data right now just showing a small chance for rain after lunchtime on Thursday, and the greater chance would come after sunset Thursday evening into Thursday night. Some of this rain could stick around overnight. And then, of course, the big question mark is where does this front stall out? If it does stall out in North Carolina, that means more rain Friday into Saturday. Bottom line here, enjoy the sunshine while we've got it. It is a bright and beautiful day in the Triangle. 74 right now in Raleigh, as well as Durham, 72 in Lewisburg, 71 Roanoke Rapids, 71 in Fayetteville, up to 73 in Sanford, 72 in Smithfield. Head out for an afternoon walk. We should be around 80 degrees by 4 o'clock. Mostly sunny, not too humid. Overall, just a gorgeous day. If you're looking for something to do outside, feel free to swing by the WRAL Azalea Gardens here today. It is beautiful. The azaleas, bright and colorful. We even had some bright oranges as I was driving in today. 87 the high tomorrow. We're really heating up. 82 on Thursday. That could energize the atmosphere ahead of the potential for storms. And then by the time we get to Friday and Saturday, there's that temperature drop. I'll have more on Easter weekend coming up in the next half hour.
All right. Thank you, Kat. People in Fayetteville can join forces with police to help mitigate crime in their community. Coming up tonight at 5, Gilbert Bays explains the ins and outs of the new security camera registry system and how you can get involved.
If you're planning on a vacation, don't wait. Coming up, 5 on Your Side will share the best times to book and how to save the most money.
And still ahead this noon, Walmart is rolling out a new look for its website and app. Why the big box giant says now is the time for that. Plus,
I couldn't believe I was looking right at the spoon everybody's been looking for.
I'll tell you how a gamer helped police locate a giant spoon.
It was a record-setting Sunday for women's college basketball, and Google wants to help you get the lowest airfare possible. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Google is testing a price guarantee program on some airline tickets. If the price of your ticket drops after you book it, you could be in for a refund for the difference. Look for the airfares on Google Flights with a price guarantee badge. Google says it will monitor those fares daily. If the fare drops, you'll get the difference back through Google Pay. Google says it's a way to book a flight without worrying about missing out on a lower price ticket. Walmart's website and app have a new look. The redesign gives users larger and glossier pictures along with video and social media content. Walmart hopes the digital makeover will engage users more and make shopping online easier. The new look comes as consumers continue to cut back on clothing, electronics, and other discretionary items. Walmart has been seeing more sales coming from groceries in recent quarters as high inflation changes shopping habits. Sunday's women's basketball championship was a record setter for TV ratings. The matchup between LSU and Iowa drew 9.9 million viewers. That was double last year's number. LSU's win was also the most viewed NCAA women's basketball game on record, according to ESPN. And the Women's March Madness tournament also saw attendance jump this year. More than 357,000 fans went to the games. That was the most since 2003. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
That looks like fun. Big celebrations on campus at UConn this morning. The Huskies are national champions once again. They beat San Diego State 76-59 in the title game last night. It's the fifth time UConn has won the men's national championship. UConn forward Adonis Sanogo credits his family from Mali for his success during the tournament. Averaged 20 points and 10 rebounds. A San Francisco federal jury has ordered Tesla to pay $3 million in punitive damages and $175,000 in non-economic damages to a former elevator operator at the company's factory. Owen Diaz is a black man who was hired as a contract worker at Tesla in 2015 through a staffing agency. Diaz says his colleagues at Tesla used racial slurs to denigrate him, made him feel physically unsafe at work, and told him to, quote, go back to Africa. He was previously awarded a verdict of $137 million in 2021, including punitive damages, after a jury determined Diaz had suffered civil rights violations at Tesla.
Coming up, former President Donald Trump will become the nation's first former president to face criminal charges today. We'll walk you through some of the charges and how supporters and protesters are reacting.
Plus, one school district is taking a novel approach to ending teacher burnout. Reaction to the new four-day school week coming next semester for them. And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Former President Donald Trump is expected to surrender to authorities in Manhattan, New York, in less than 2 hours.
The charges, about 30 counts related to document fraud, are unknown because the indictment against him is under seal. They are expected to be unsealed and made public when he's arraigned. Madeline Rivera has a preview of the hearing.
With Secret Service in tow, former President Donald Trump is appearing before a New York City judge on Tuesday. He reportedly faces multiple charges of falsifying business records in connection with alleged hush money payments made on his behalf ahead of the 2016 election. His legal team ready to fight.
He committed no wrong, not a misdemeanor, not a felony, not a traffic ticket. There is nothing here. I still can't believe this is going to survive our vigorous motions to dismiss.
The judge presiding over Trump's arraignment denied a request to allow cameras to cover the proceedings live after the defense argued it could create a circus-like atmosphere. Outside the courthouse, the proceedings are drawing a crowd of demonstrators and media.
We are asking for the public's help as well in maintaining a safe, orderly environment.
Manhattan criminal cases typically take years to play out. Legal experts say this case could pose a challenge for District Attorney Alvin Bragg, as the indictment against Trump relies on an untested legal theory that potentially elevates a misdemeanor to a felony.
He ran on a platform that he was going to get Trump, and he bragged, well, famously. So you're going to see a lot of attacks on this indictment by motions.
That was Madeline Rivera reporting. A small scuffle broke out between Trump supporters and detractors outside the New York courthouse this morning. After his arraignment, Mr. Trump will return to Florida, where he plans to address his supporters.
And here in the WRAL Live Center, we want to take you live outside the courtroom right now to show you exactly what's going on. At this hour, Mr. Trump has not left Trump Towers. We've got a camera there as well outside Trump Tower. He has not left. He was scheduled to leave around the midday hours. That could be now. It could be in the next half hour, keeping in mind that the hearing isn't scheduled until 2:15 this afternoon. Right now, you see this area is clear, but in the last 24 hours or so, that whole area was lined with hundreds of journalists trying to get a ticket to get inside that courtroom. Those tickets were handed out about 8 o'clock this morning. So some journalists waited up to 20 hours just to get a ticket to be inside that arraignment hearing this morning. Also, look in the distance right there. You see that green area? That's a park that's near the courthouse. And that's where a rally was held this morning with Trump supporters. Michelle just mentioned a brief scuffle broke out between Trump supporters and his detractors. Well, there in that distance, that's a park area. A rally was held this morning. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene addressed the crowd briefly. Because Secret Service was a little concerned about her safety, they whisked her out of there really quickly after she made some brief remarks. But again, you're looking live outside the Manhattan courtroom where former President Donald Trump will appear in the next hour or so. We'll continue to monitor this story here in the WRAL Live Center and, of course, NBC News throughout the day.
All right, Ken, thanks for that update. Well, if you vote by mail, some state lawmakers are trying to change how long you have to get your ballot in. A House committee will discuss a bill today that would ban boards of elections from accepting ballots that arrive after Election Day. The only exception would be military voters. Right now, ballots are counted as long as they're postmarked by Election Day and arrive within 3 days. Advocates of the bill say it would help restore public confidence in the election system, but opponents say it would invalidate thousands of otherwise legal votes.
A surprise recent cut in oil production could soon mean higher prices at the gas pump and a setback in the fight against inflation. AAA reported an average of $3.36 for a regular gallon of gasoline in North Carolina. It's about the same as yesterday, but up about 6 cents from this time last week. WRL's Nia Harden explains why experts think this upward trend will continue.
Well, do you remember getting gas this time last year, what it felt like? Gas prices were $3.95 a gallon last year around this time. Well, gas experts say we will feel that pinch again. And prices aren't expected to be as high as last year, according to Gas Buddy expert Patrick DeHaan. But he does say that here in Raleigh, we could see gas prices this summer go up by 20 cents. This comes after OPEC Plus, a group of 23 countries that export oil, suddenly cut production Sunday. While OPEC's decision comes as a surprise to many experts, DeHaan says OPEC is doing this because they predict lower demand this year.
A lot of Americans did hit the road last year in light of the fact that last year, at least for summer, the mask mandate was gone, and a lot of Americans hit the road, even with record high gas prices, because the state of the economy was much stronger, arguably, last year than where it is today. And so it could mean a bit of a slowdown for tourism.
Some experts have predicted this will cause problems for inflation. DeHaan tells us he doesn't think that will be the case. You can go on the WREL News app to find the lowest gas prices in your area. Just search the words fuel tracker. Nye Harden, WREL News in Garner.
Black-owned children's bookstore Liberation Station will open its first brick-and-mortar location in downtown Raleigh this year. Owner Victoria Scott Miller said she and her family had never stepped into a Black-owned bookstore until they started their own.
I mean, it's overwhelming to think about that this is a space that we carved out for us, and that everyone gets to benefit from it. Everybody is a beneficiary of the work that we do.
Liberation Station will open this June. You can look for the story on WREL.com.
A story that's got both kids and adults buzzing. You've heard of the four-day work week, right? But what about the four-day school week? Jenna Bush has the story that's getting a lot of attention.
Right now, what I need you to do is to get out your Chromebook.
In classrooms coast to coast, many devoted teachers work long hours, even weekends, for the love of the job.
Really good teaching has a lot of components that extend beyond the direct instruction that you do in a classroom.
But in North College Hills School, Superintendent Eugene Blaylock is alarmed by what's happening.
What were you seeing in your teachers?
You walk through the buildings and you can just see it in their eyes, how tired they are.
Teacher burnout and a whole lot of it.
I was a teacher. I think it's the most important job there is. I know from my time in the classroom that it is not a 9-to-5. Teachers are spending hours in the afternoon planning, collaborating.
And if teachers don't have ample time to do that, then they struggle. And it's almost like being on a hamster wheel. You're just going, and you never get a chance to get off, take a breath. And I think that it's a dying profession.
I'm giving you guys a little bit of freedom.
And teaching is only part of the job.
Teachers didn't sign up to be police officers and security guards. Those are all things that play on the stress level.
So Superintendent Blaylock said, enough's enough. His entire district is now switching to a four-day school week. Students will only go in Tuesday through Friday. Mondays is for self-guided work at home, while teachers have a student-free day at school for lesson planning.
We really dig deep. This is about student achievement. And if our teachers aren't 100%, then our students won't get what they truly need and deserve.
Among parents, there's a lot of support, but some hesitation, too.
I'm excited because I think that it gives the teachers and kids a little bit of a break.
I'm glad to see that they're being innovative, but I feel like the world is not yet ready for that schedule.
As Jenna Bush reporting, the new four-day week in Ohio will start in August, with new provisions being made to help parents with childcare needs and reduced meals compensation.
Coming up, if you're thinking about switching jobs, you are not alone. We'll tell you how many people are thinking about jumping ship in the next year.
And before you pop a peep this spring, listen up. We'll tell you what color could be hazardous to your health.
Perfect golf weather on this Tuesday. You are looking live at Pinehurst. You're watching WREL News, available on Spectrum and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Johnston and Warren counties. The NC Department of Public Safety in Warren County will host a public open house on April 13th from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. The plan is to show residents the results of the revised flood insurance rate maps. This session will be held at the Warren County Armory Civic Center that's located at 501 U.S. Highway in Warrenton. And Johnston County Parks and Open Space will host a public meeting on April 19th to share details about the upcoming master plan for the Johnston County Regional Park. County staff is working to complete the application, and this public meeting is one of the final steps to ensure all possible points are gathered. The public meeting will take place at the Cleveland Fire Department from 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. in Clayton.
Many U.S. adults may be looking for new jobs this year. A new survey shows 56% of working Americans are likely to be looking for new roles within the next 12 months. That's a 5% increase compared to a year ago. The survey adds more than 40% of workers say they'll ask for a pay increase or more flexibility at their current job. If you're planning a trip out of the country soon, now is the time to apply for your new passport. The State Department warns it could take up to 4 months to process a passport application. Delays could get worse as travel picks up this summer. More Americans are deciding to travel abroad, which is contributing to the backlog of U.S. passport applications. Weekly applications are up about 30 to 40% compared to last year.
A popular treat in Easter baskets could pose a cancer risk. Coming up, why researchers say Peeps could be hazardous to your health. Plus,
how do you steal a 15-foot spoon and nobody notice?
Coming up, a sweet ending to the search for a massive eating utensil.
Millions of people around the world are struggling with infertility. New data from the World Health Organization highlights how widespread the medical problem is. And Jackie Ibanez takes a look at what's preventing couples from getting the care they need, plus the psychological distress that can result if someone's infertility goes untreated.
Ten fingers, ten toes, and perfect health. That's the hope of any parent when their child is born. But a new report from the World Health Organization finds more than 17% of the global population may never get to experience the joys of parenthood, revealing an astonishing 1 in 6 people are affected by infertility at some point in their life.
Infertility is a medical condition, a medical diagnosis. When a couple have tried for a 12-month period to get pregnant and it doesn't occur.
Because the report doesn't show large variations in infertility rates among high, middle, and low-income countries, researchers say infertility is a significant global health challenge that needs solving.
There is a great demand for infertility care, for diagnosis and treatment.
The problem? Access to infertility treatments like in vitro fertilization or IVF are often limited and extremely expensive. In the U.S., the American Society of Reproductive Medicine says one round of IVF can cost anywhere between $12,000 to $25,000.
WHO is calling for greater policy prioritization of infertility.
That was Jackie Ibanez reporting. The WHO says broader access to less expensive treatments are important because infertility can lead to, quote, distress and stigma that can alter people's mental and psychosocial well-being.
A warning for those shopping for Easter. Consumer Reports says there are several colors of Peeps that could cause cancer. The Consumer Advocacy Group has flagged 9 different Peeps and other candies made by Just Born, including hot tamales. It says they contain an artificial coloring called red dye number 3, a known carcinogen. The dye was banned in cosmetics in 1990, but is still allowed in certain foods. Consumer Reports is calling on the FDA to ban it in foods. Just Born says its candies are made in compliance with FDA regulations.
All right, we'll skip the Peeps for Easter this
season. No more hot tamales either.
No more hot tamales either. Yeah, we'll skip the Peeps for Easter. But speaking of Easter, weather's not looking too bad.
No, it's going to feel like a hot day today, considering what we've had recently, these temperatures. We're going to hit 80, huh, Kat?
Yes, we are. We've got 80s in the forecast for 3 days. I think a lot of folks are wishing we could carry those 80s over into Easter weekend, but we've got big changes coming. Even some 50s for highs in the forecast. I have been looking over new model data that's just starting to come in for the afternoon, and the worst case scenario that I'm seeing on models for Easter Sunday would be perhaps a few showers left over in our southern counties in the morning before drying out everywhere by the afternoon. So it's not looking too bad. Partly cloudy, 65 our forecast high, a little chilly in the morning, temperatures in the 40s, and this is the system that's going to bring those changes. We've got some showers and storms that are just starting to develop in parts of the Midwest and Texas out ahead of this system. Still got a long ways to go, but as it crosses Over the East Coast, it's likely to pick up some moisture. So let's talk about our weekend preview. And again, this is still subject to change. A lot of this is going to have to do with exactly where a front stalls out. Thursday evening into Thursday night, we begin to see some showers moving into the area, perhaps a few storms. Some of those showers likely to stick around into Friday. But if this front stalls far enough to the south, it would limit which parts of our viewing area could see that rain. Still, we're likely to be pretty close to that stalled front line, so we'll at least keep in the chance for rain Friday and Saturday along this front. Sunday, though, we should begin to see that front pushing to the south and some clearing. So Easter Sunday, not looking bad at this point. And we still have some uncertainty in exactly where the rain would be Friday and Saturday. About a 50% chance for rain on Friday right now, 60% on Saturday. High temperatures in the 50s, though. It looks like we'll be on the cooler side of the front. 65 the high on Sunday. Carolina Beach looking like a pretty nice day. Some clouds, but it is spring break, so there are a lot of folks out on the beach. I was just looking at temperatures there. Mid-70s already. Today set to reach the 80s several days this week. So great beach weather for spring breakers. Visible satellite imagery were nice and clear in the triangle. In our eastern counties where you are still seeing some cloud cover, it continues to move on out of here and you will see the bright sunny skies this afternoon. 80 the high in Raleigh as well as Durham, 79 in Rocky Mount, 81 in Fayetteville, 80 in Smithfield this afternoon. It is a beautiful day. Make the most of today. Tomorrow gets a little toasty out there. 87 degrees our forecast high. Thursday, I think we may need to bump up temperatures with the later arrival of the rain Thursday evening and a Thursday night. And then temperatures really come crashing down behind that front. Lows even fall into the lower 40s by Easter Sunday morning. So get back out, at least a light sweater with the Easter dresses if you're planning ahead for Sunday.
That sounds good. Thank you, Kat. We'll have our top stories after the break.
And a look at last night's Powerball drawing. Good luck.
As we wrap things up, the story everyone is watching today, the next steps for former President Donald Trump. The former president is expected to turn himself in at the Manhattan District Attorney's Office within the next 90 minutes. The indictment against him is sealed. Those charges are expected to become public when he is arraigned. That's set for 2:15 this afternoon. We'll have complete coverage on our news starting at 4 right here on WREL and on WREL.com.
A Smithfield police officer and Johnson County school board members free on bond this hour after a court hearing one day after a grand jury indictment. Early this morning, Ronald Johnson turned himself in on the five counts he faces and was given a $50,000 bond. Johnson is due back in court the week of June 5th.
A federal investigation is underway after a Greensboro man was found with several weapons on campus at North Carolina A&T. Court documents say the 27-year-old ran to officers on campus asking for help on March 26th. He told officers he was scared of being kidnapped by a religious cult. Police found weapons inside and hundreds of rounds of ammunition inside his car. A giant red spoon that was swiped from a Phoenix Dairy Queen has been returned to its rightful owners. A gamer was hunting for virtual Pokemon on Monday when he stumbled upon the 15-foot spoon on the ground near a middle school. The huge spoon had been missing since March 25th when a security camera caught two men and a woman removing it from its base and loading it onto a flatbed truck. The suspects are still on the run. Well, you might want to keep your plants on a tight watering schedule after you hear this next story. New research reveals plants make popping noises when they're dehydrated or stressed. They also air their grievances when their stems are cut. Humans can't hear the sounds because they're too high-pitched, but some animals like mice can pick it up. Scientists were able to figure this out by potting plants and placing microphones near their stems.
Our pet of the day comes to us from Pawfick Match Rescue. Tarzan's favorite things are snuggles with his favorite person and treats. His foster mom thinks he's a hound mix. Tarzan is house trained, knows some basic manners. He's also great on a leash. Could you be his perfect match? If you think so, the agency would love to hear from you. The number on your screen. We are less than an hour and a half from the arraignment of former President Donald Trump. The list of charges will become public after today's hearing. NBC News will provide coverage right here on WREL.
And NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update is in 30 minutes.
Get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL news app. Stay with us for updates from Manhattan.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.